Okay, so let's summarize where we were, and then we'll see how much of it we get through here. So, in our Gemara, the Gemara had said that if a non-Jew, if you have a problem with your eye and you need to put a medical salve on it, say you can have a non-Jew do it, and the Gemara then raised that possibly that should be forbidden because you are misayaya, you're helping the non-Jew by blinking in the salve. And then the Gemara answered, no, misayaya ain bo mamish. When you help, when you aid in someone else putting something in your eye, you aid in helping something which has also happened, that is halakhically insignificant. That the same position emerges from the Gemara in Shabbos in the context of Shneim Sasu'ah, all the different positions on when one is exempt from liability if he performed the malacha with somebody else, assuming that the way we paskin, they both, at least one of them was capable of doing it and the other one was incapable, so the incapable one is misayaya and therefore he's exempt. So you have two Gemaras that assume that when you only aid in the performance of a malacha, you are exempt. We have the Gemara in Makos, which says that if you aid someone in cutting your hair in a forbidden way, so then you are chayev, according to everybody. Rav Ashi had said, misayaya v'divrei hakol. And then we had a Gemara in Erechen, where the Gemara had said that misayaya was problematic, helping, assuming that it is prohibited for a levi whose job it is to open the doors to be involved in singing or vice versa, assuming that is problematic, so misayaya is also problematic, helping is also problematic, but the Gemara seems to say that it is only dirabanan, according to the first position, and according to the second position, perhaps not even usher. So the question all the Rishonim deal with is, okay, well, is or is not misayaya halakhically significant? So one possibility is it's a machlokas, or people change their positions. But assuming that you think that these sugyas have to be reconciled, so how do you do it? So we saw a series of positions who say that there is no ironclad, there is no single rule for misayaya. It depends on how involved you are. If you are more actively involved, so then misayaya counts. If you're less actively involved, so then misayaya doesn't count. So then how do you explain the Gemara in Beitza, in our Gemara, that the guy who's blinking in the salve, that's insignificant, he seems to be doing something? So the Shittim Ubetze, for example, said, well, no, maybe since you have to blink at some point, therefore blinking is insignificant. And you get different versions of that answer, that there's different types of misayaya. The second direction to take is to say that really, in general, misayaya is insignificant. The exception to all rules is the Gemara in Makos, that in the case of cutting your hair or cutting your beard in forbidden ways, there's not just an issur to cut your hair that way, it's an issur to have your hair cut in that way. And therefore, even if you didn't help at all, as long as you allow the person to do it, you'd be chayev. The only reason you need to be misayaya, you need to in some way be actively involved, is because if you don't, you can't get malchus, because you didn't do anything active. But fundamentally, that case is the exception. In all other cases, misayaya is insignificant halachically. So that's what we had seen so far. What we're up to now is another distinction between misayaya. Right before we talked about different versions of how much you're involved in the malacha, now what we're going to see is a machlokas as to when one is involved in the malacha. So we were up to number 11, the position of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now this appears both in his chidushim on Shabbos and in Makos and in his tshuvot. And he goes like this. He says, "Tzarach lomar, dizeh eino yachol." Zeh eino yachol, eino chayev, ela kishishnehim osem malacha mamish. When two people do a malacha, then neither one of them could have done it by themselves. So that's the case in which we say the misayaya is chayev, so to speak. Right? Where neither person could carry the couch by themselves, and therefore when they carry the couch into Rishus HaRabim, they are chayev, because that's a normal way of doing the malacha. That's distinct from the case in Beitza of the guy opening and closing his eye to allow the medical staff to go in. Aval hasam b'mada amitz upasach, when he opens and closes his eyes, eino ose malacha klum ve'eino chelek mi'isura dekochel ela she'ose hachana l'sheyucho hanachri likchol. He said there's, you have to be very careful. What does Misayeya mean? Misayeya means one of two things. Misayeya can mean I enable someone else to do the malacha by setting the groundwork for it, right? Meaning I hold my eye open for the guy to put the salve in, and afterwards I blink it in, right? But I didn't actually put the medical salve in. I just created a situation in which someone else was able to do it, but I didn't do the malacha myself. That's different than the misayeya of carrying a couch, where, what does it mean, misayeya? It means I'm actually doing the malacha, right? We're both carrying the couch. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, misayeya is significant if, is more significant, or the least significant misayeya is when you prepare the groundwork. The more significant misayeyas are when you actually are involved in the malacha itself, in the isser itself. So he says, in Beitza, the reason it's not a problem at all is because all you're doing is preparing the groundwork. In Shabbos, so misayeya ein bo mamish, but we do have a case in which quote-unquote misayeya yesh bo mamish, meaning if the two people, neither of them could carry the couch, so then we say that type of quote-unquote misayeya is liable, because he said, of course it is, because you're both necessary to the action of the malacha itself. So that is chayev. In the case where one of the people can carry and the other person couldn't carry, even though you're involved at the time of the malacha, that's not important because you weren't necessary to the performance of the malacha. So he says, V'kari l'hachanazu misayeya, u'misayeya kehai. So the misayeya in Beitza, where you just prepare the groundwork, kevan d'hanachre eno yochol bilado, since the goy couldn't have done it without you, so v'rabzera d'yesh b'mamash. Rabzera had thought that it was significant. Aval inyan misayeya, but then we reject even that. Aval inyan misayeya dehocha dechavero yochol ve'eno tzarechlo. But here, misayeya kazeh savar abzer de'in mo mamesh. Uvetozuz dochku ve'enim mevin lama. So he said, in the Gemara in Beitza, you had a machlokas. Reb Zeira had thought that it was, that misayeya was important. When you opened your eye for the salve, that was important. So he said, on the one hand, I get it, because you were necessary. On the other hand, you were necessary prior to the malacha. So Reb Zeira's position is, if you're necessary, even if it's prior to the malacha, that is significant. The conclusion of the Gemara is that no, if you're involved only in the setup for the malacha, but not involved in the malacha itself, that is not important. So that's the machlokes and conclusion in Beitza.
What about the makif and that?
Yeah, he hasn't gotten to that yet, right? In the Gemara in Shabbos, so Reb Zeira thinks that Reb Akiva is trying to do more than one thing. He's trying to first understand Reb Zeira, who's actually the rejected position, and understand the maskana of the Gemara. So Reb Zeira in the Gemara in Beitza thought that you're liable when you help with the salve, but he thought you were not liable in the case where one person could carry the couch by himself, the other person couldn't, so the person who couldn't is not liable. So he says, why did Reb Zeira think that the case of the eye salve is worse than the case of the weak person helping the strong person carry the couch? So he said, for Reb Zeira, what's important is whether the isser could have been done without you. Right? So since the guy couldn't have put the salve in the eye without you, you are liable. Since the guy could have carried the couch without you, you're not liable. That's Reb Zeira's position. But everyone else's position is not like that. Everyone else's position is that even though in the Beitza case, in the eye salve case, you were necessary, right? Automatically, if you're not involved in the malacha, you're only involved in the preparation of the malacha, so the maskana of the Gemara is that's totally insignificant. The only reason in Shabbos we even have a discussion is because you're involved in the process of the malacha. But the reason that everyone but Reb Zeira rejects the notion of misayeya in the context of the eye salve is because you're not involved in the malacha itself. Then Reb Akiva continues and he says, "Tozu Reb Zeira, Hikshu Dehacha, Right, Tosafot asks that it seems to be a contradiction because Reb Zeira here, as he just noted, said Misayeya and Shabbos is insignificant. The weak person carrying the couch is insignificant, but he thought that the Ayisalv case was significant. He says, L'dayti, l'chora kasha l'hipuch. I would have said the opposite. Eich svir le'lamei marsham b'kochol l'misayeh ein bo mamish. Hayi o'lo ametu pasach ein o'v'kochom yochol l'kochol. He said, I already explained Reb Zeira. I understand Reb Zeira. Right? Reb Zeira thinks what counts is how necessary were you for the malacha. In the case of the Ayisalv, you were absolutely necessary. That's why he thinks you're chayev. In the case of carrying the couch, the weak person is insignificant, and therefore it's insignificant. But he said, but that's not how we paskin. We paskin like Ravashi, and that doesn't make any sense to me. Right? How could it be that you're chayev, that you're not chayev in the case of the Ayisalv if you're necessary? He said, in Shabbos, everybody agrees, well, two out of three of the positions of the Gemara agree, that if you have two weak people carrying a couch, you are chayev. So he said, well, wait a second. I get Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira makes sense. But according to Rav Ashi, it doesn't make sense. Because everyone, lahalacha we paskin, that if two weak people carry a couch together, they're both chayev. So he said, why is the eye salve case different than that? The guy can't put the eye salve in your eye unless you open your eye. So he says, and then he goes back to his point, because there are two different things. Again, because in Beitza we're talking about preparation. Allowing someone to put the salve in your eye is not called putting it on your eye. But when two people are carrying, they're both carrying. But if they neither of them can do it, and therefore there is no question at all. So again, so Reb Akiva Eiger says there's two positions here we have to tease out. The one we don't paskin like and one we do. Reb Zeira we don't paskin like. But again, Reb Zeira's position is that the Ayisalv case, Misaya Yesh Bo Mamish. In the case of Zeh, Eino Yachol v'zeh Yachol, Reb Zeira says, you are not liable. So he says, according to Reb Zeira, the only thing that matters is, were you or were you not necessary for the Isser? If yes, then you're chayev. If not, no. But the way we paskin is, no, there's two factors. In order to be chayev for Rav Ashi, you both need to be significant for the malacha, and you need to be involved in the malacha during the malacha. But preparation, lahalacha, is insignificant, and that's how he deals with it. So, how would he deal with the Gemara in Makos, right? The case of Makif and Nikaf, you just said that's an exception, right? Because, well, no, sorry. That one, you're involved during. You're not involved, before, you're involved during. Why is that true? So you look at 12.
Period. I mean, if you just sit there.
What Rabbi Yeager is probably not going to assume, and he'll probably assume, like the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, well, how do you look at the person in Makos? Is the person in Makos like the guy in the Ayisalv where he's only preparing it? Or is he like the guy carrying where he's actively involved? So he says, well, it depends. Depends how you look at it. The Chazon Ish says, Hachzakas haguf b'matzav shoneh meharagil, if you hold your body in a different way, said, when you're getting a haircut, what are you doing, right? You raise your head, you turn, you do this, right? You're actually moving, right? So right, imagine a haircut, right? You turn your head, right? He says, turn your head, you leave it there. So he says, well, that's considered active because, right, you normally wouldn't want to just sit, you know, like this for a minute. Right, you would sit with your face forward, but the fact is that you're holding your head in different directions. Lufichach, k'sha'adam be'rtsono machriach es rosho shelo lintos mehamakif, and therefore, when a person actively forces his head to turn, or not turn away from the guy cutting his hair. It's considered being actively involved the whole time. You're still not the one cutting the hair. You're not the one shaving. But if the question is, were you having your hair cut, since that you are usher to have your hair cut in a forbidden way, Ella, Shem Eno Misayeh, have a lav shin bo maisa, but if you don't help, there's no maisa. Achkan, hoel bo machlik, rosher, she, somach latar, mikri, ose, maisa. So the Chazon Ish seems to combine a Rabbi Akiva Eger like Svara with the Gzeiras HaKasev answer, right? Which is, in order for something to be Misayeh, you need to be involved during, in order for something to be significant Misayeh, meaning a Misayeh for which you would be Chayev, you have to be involved during the performance of the malacha.
But by the eye cell, isn't he actively involved?
Right, so that's what you would have...
He's having the nachri do it, and that's the malacha.
Well, no, but he's... So, the question is, are you doing something during the process, allowing...
But the
Yisrael right,
is having the nachri do it...
No. Well, that's Rabbi Akiva Eger thinks not true, right? The Chazon Ish is following Rabbi Akiva Eger. Allowing someone to do something for Rabbi Akiva Eger is insignificant, right? Preparing the groundwork is insignificant. Only if you're doing something during. Now, why is it that opening your eye for the eye salve is different than turning your head? I assume because...
It's very unnatural to keep your eye open when someone sticks stuff in it.
Right, so it could be that, or it could be what the Shishim Gvetzet said. Well, it's true, but you're leaving your eye... eye open isn't the problem. It's the closing it, which blinks it in. Right? And that... we can always go back to the Shishim Gvetzet, who said, yeah, but blinking... once it drops in your eye, you're going to blink naturally. Right? So that's going to be considered passive. That seems to be the direction the Chazon Ish takes, which is blinking because of the Shittum Govetzes or something like that is not considered active involvement. Alternatively, you could have just said that Makiv is Xeris HaKasov, right? You could have just gone in that direction. That's the position of Rabbi Akiva Eger. Though, as the Gershon noted, you could have flipped the whole thing, right? Right? Rabbi Akiva Eger basically says, how do we deal with different cases of Misayeah? Before we'd seen people distinguish between really big Misayeahs and lesser Misayeahs. Rabbi Akiva Eger is distinguishing not between how much you're involved, but when you're involved. Right? Involved in advance is insignificant. Involved during is significant. You could have flipped that. Right? And you could have said the exact opposite. Namely, and Rabbi Akiva Eger already hinted this. You could have said, if I help in advance, so then I'm obviously chayev. Because, right, in advance I was the only one doing anything. Right? But during, I'm sharing the act. Right? On the one hand, doing it in advance is less significant because you're not involved in the Isser itself. You're only involved in the preparatory steps. On the other hand, preparation is worse because at the moment of preparation, you're the only one doing something Usser, and the person who's actually putting in the salve or cutting your hair hasn't yet started doing something. So you can't punt and say, yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. He was doing it. Right? Obviously not, because during the preparation, you were the only one involved. If you're talking about two people co-carrying a couch, you can always say, it wasn't really me, we were doing it together, neither one of us is independently chayev. So you could have flipped Rabbi Akiva Eger, and that is what the Taz does. Right? If this wasn't complicated enough, right? Because we have all the different positions, now we have a total flip of positions. So you have Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says, before is not as bad, during is worse. The Taz says, no, it's the other way. And this comes up in the following case in Shulchan Aruch. Dafka, number 13. Dafka, but, so we're talking about Hilchos Nida, in Hilchos Chatzitza, of all places. The halacha is like this. If a woman has dough under her fingernails, so that's considered a chatzitza, right? She doesn't want the dough under her fingernails. But Me'ikra Adin, the fingernail itself is not a chatzitza. Right, this has caused huge machlokot, and continues to, because women who like to have long fingernails, right, so the minhag olam is that women cut their fingernails, right, they cut them short before they go to the mikvah. Mikra din halachically, there's no need to do that, right, if a woman normally grows long fingernails and likes them, as long as they're clean, there's no problem. Many mikvot will look the other way, because since it's only a minhag, but Me'ikra Adin, there's no problem, and many women really get upset if you tell them to cut their nails, will look the other way. In Israel, many mikvot will not look the other way, even though they really should, even with secular women who are coming to the mikveh, right, which creates a whole nightmare. But that's the context here. So Shulchan Aruch says like this: Dafka batzik chachat as he burn chotis. Like burn afra ina chotis. It's really only
the sidebar is more interesting.
What?
The sidebar is more interesting.
Yes. Much has been written. This really exploded because, I mean, besides the fact, in Israel, in order to get married under the Rabbanut, so one of the things that must be done is a woman must have challah classes and she must go to the mikveh at least once. Otherwise, she can't get married by the Rabbanut and the marriage cannot be recognized by the government. Right? So this isn't just, you know, women who are already committed to halacha in any way, shape, or form coming to the mikveh. These are including people who b'chol don't care about halacha. Your only chance at getting them to come to the mikveh in the future is that they have a good first experience of the mikveh, and then they have a terrible experience of the mikveh. Right? So this was so a few years ago, and then it exploded into a second level controversy because people had been fighting for a long time to get the mikvahs in Israel to allow women to go, which is, like I said, standard policy, I think, in North America, not in all mikvot, but most mikvot, they try to make mikvah ladies understand that they shouldn't be overly zealous on things which aren't actually halacha. So a few years ago, Tova Gamzel had written an article on chatzitza, among other things, arguing not only that they should be able to go without cutting their nails, but arguing that even if they have nail polish on, they should be allowed to go as long as it's perfect nail polish, because it's not makbida, right? Now, that wasn't... Many poskim do go in that direction, or at least will say that they'll allow it to shasat chag. What was more controversial was that Tova Gamzel was the first woman who had submitted an article by herself to Tchumen as on the halachic side. Dina Zimmerman had previously submitted medical stuff, but as on the halachic side, she had been the first person who submitted. And Tchumen, though it runs out of Alon Shvud, right, and has no problem fundamentally with women writing, tries to be accepted across the spectrum, and therefore didn't know what to do, so said they would agree to publish it, but a male had to also pretend to write it with her. So her husband, who is an oncologist, right, signed off on it because Tova didn't care. But then it got out that that's what happened, right? And Tova said she didn't care. But so this was a whole level. This is multiple levels of explosion in Israel. No. And Tova, the fact that Tova didn't care should have made everyone else not care, because Tova is a firebrand, right? She is a Breuer, and she's Rabbi Breuer's niece and the head of the Midrasha at Bar Ilan, and the one of the founders of the Yuetzet Halacha program. Like, she's, you know, if she didn't care, no one else should, whatever. Anyways, so there's multiple levels of controversy that were erupting Israel over this point, but for our purposes. Yeah, and I understand the sidebar is more interesting. Trust me, Ora and I have many discussions about this one. But the way we paskin is that nails are mekradin, not a chatzitza. Things under the nails are fine. Even if they're long nails and they could be cut, uparachas velvers mekneged abasa, right? They're above the line of the skin, ain't a chatzitza. The Ramah says, Miu, kol de dafka shein soa, batek tachteo, tachta v'shatvil. It's only if there isn't dirt under them. Fine. Me'achar dekvar nagu litol tzipar naim. But then the Ramah says, but since the minog is to cut the nails, even when they're clean, afilum tzipar n'achas nishar b'yot v'tavlo, tzricha tzvila acheres. Right? Even if she leaves the nails, so she should go to the mikvah again, v'cheno again. Okay, fine. Then what happens? So then this gets a step more complicated. So the minhag is that women should cut their nails short for the mikvah. That's the minhag, fine. What happens if a woman forgets to do that and it's Friday night? Right, so now what do you do? Right, so this...
So I didn't pass it like that too?
The what?
The Ramah says that, but so I didn't pass it also that he has to cut your nails?
I think the minog, even among Sephardim, is to do it. Right. Mikra din, even Ashkenazim, Baskin don't have to, which is the minog.
Right, no.
Right, it's the minog. But I think, I can't imagine it would have exploded that way in Israel if Sephardim didn't. Right. Because right? If Rav Avadia had said it, so then people would always just say, I'm Sephardi, or I'm Samech on Rav Avadia or something, right? I think. I'm pretty sure. When it comes to this stuff, I just ask Ara. I don't know. okay. So then the Taz, So what happens on Shabbos? So, logically, you could have gone two ways, right? One is to say, well, Mikra din, we think that it's okay to go to the mikvah without cutting the nails. So just, if it's Shabbos already, so go to the mikvah, make sure the nails are clean and go without cutting them. The other one is to say, no, there's a really strong minhag, even though it's maybe not Ikra din, but there's a really strong minhag to be machmir, and say that maybe long nails is a problem of chatzitza, and therefore you should get a goy to cut the nails. Now, what's the problem? Getting a guy to cut the nails, so cutting the nails is gozes. Right? It's like shearing. Getting a guy to cut it is amir lanachri. Now, amir lanachri shouldn't be a problem, because amir lanachri, b'mako mitzvah, which might be fine, right, at least potentially fine, right, according to many shittos, that's fine.
Do with the Ravana or do with the right?
What?
Amir
l'nachri b'makom mitzvah, do it the right or do it the right? So, Amir l'nachri maybe mutter even on a daraisa, right? That's the position of the Ramah, right? The Ramah quotes the position of the Itter that you can even tell a goy to light a candle on Shabbos. In general, we don't like paskening that way. We sell only in a drabbanan. But the question is, if you're cutting your nails only because, right, is cutting your nails, right, goes is daraisa or is it goes is drabbanan, right? That's another question, right? Depends on what you want it for. And depends how the guy cuts it. Because if the guy cuts it with a kli, so then it might be deraisa. But if the guy bites it off, right, I kid you not, this is part of the discussion in the post game, right, is then it's trade derabanan, because you're telling the guy to bite the nail or break it with their finger, and then it's only derabanan, because the kli is deraisa, but biyad or bepeh is derabanan.
So in order to fulfill a minhag, they're telling somebody to do it.
Well, so okay. So this is right. So this is the storm that the Shachem Taz come into, right? What exactly do you do? Because there's so many weird factors going on here. Which is, we want them to cut the nail, which isn't really a chiyuv mikra din, but is a minhag. And then, right, like no one knows quite what to do with this. Okay, fine. So the Taz, and in the middle of all this comes up the question of okay. So let's say you say the guy, you tell the guy to cut the nail with her finger, shrine. So now it's trei derabanan b'makom mitzvah, right? Amir l'nachir and derabanan b'makom mitzvah. So then it's mutter according to everybody. Fine, wonderful. What's the problem? The woman is holding her hands up for the non-Jew to cut the nail. So maybe it's not amir l'nachir b'makom derabanan b'makom mitzvah. It's misayeya sheyesh bo mamish. Right? Or Misei Shein Bo Mamesh. And that's the question. This is where the post gives. This, if you want to know the main discussion in Shulchan Aruch about Misayaya, it's in Hilchos Nida, in the middle of this bizarre discussion between the Shach and Taz. Right? That is the longest discussion in Shulchan Aruch on this topic. There are other discussions, but this is the longest. I think. I'm pretty sure. Or at least it's the most quoted. So the Taz said, whew. And here, in the middle of that, the Taz says the opposite of Gevager. The Kevenshin is Bar La'el, the Natilat Sipar Naim Shala Isha, Eina Ella Mitzad Haminog. Once I've told you that you don't really need to cut the nails at all, it's only a minog, Shechmir al Atzbom. Nearly, the Hadi Isa bin Mordechai Hilchos Nida Vagos Share Dura Mivio. That which the Mordechai and the Share Dura say. Dim ira tvilata b'chol ha-moe, nachan ha-davar sheshivcha ovedes kochavim tigal chemla, damil kochavim shvuti u'makom mitzvah lo gazru, vim ein lo v'kochavim tinakar heite v'tishetachat ha-tzipor anad kan lushono. The Mordechai and the Sharedura said that if a woman has to go to the mikvah b'chol ha-moe, so then you should tell a goy to do it, because then it's shvus b'makom mitzvah, and if there's no goy around, so then don't coat the nail, just clean it. So he says, hainu dafka b'chol ha-moe. That's only in Chol HaMoed, when the Yisra Malacha itself is lesser. Aval b'Shabbos v'Yom Tov, what if it's on Shabbos itself? Ira she'shochecha litol ha-tziparnayim. If she forgot to cut her nails, lo tomar lavodas kochavim she'tachtochla. Don't tell the non-Jew to cut the nails. D'cheven she'ein mitzvah gimura b'netil ha-tziparnayim. Because you don't really have to cut the nails. Da'efshu b'nikor tachtam l'chor. All you got to do is clean them. Lama nivato b'zeh shvus da'amir lo'ovit kochavim shvusu. Why would you violate the prohibition of Amir Lenachri of telling a goy to do malach of a sue. Furthermore, this is a chumra, right, which leads to a kula. Sha'afal pi sha'avodas kochavim choteches. Mikol makom, because even though the non-Jew is cutting it, mikol makom osa Yisraelis misayei Allah. This isn't a case of Amir Lenachri. The Jewish woman is putting out her hand. Ayidei shematalaz yodea, he's turning the hand. Uki'ilu osa malach azusha azura midaraisa b'shabas v'yomtov. So this is an Isra Malacha D'oraisa, right? The woman is being Messiahat in an Isra D'oraisa. So for a Chumrah, you're going to allow a woman to be involved in an Isra D'oraisa? How do I know that this is a significant? Because of hair cutting. What's the difference between hair cutting and nail cutting? It's the same thing. Shigama Nikav Chayvim Siyeh B'davar Shemata Atmoy Lav Lakifo V'chulei. Because if the non-Jewish woman would try to cut the nails without the Jew putting her hand out, then what do you say? She didn't go to the mikvah. No, that can't be. Just tell her to clean the nails. Right, it's a preparation, so it should be fine. According to Taz, no. Right, the fact that she's preparing her hand makes it worse. Now, of course, you could, right, depending on how you understand the Chazon Ish, maybe the Taz, at this point, isn't yet arguing with the Eger, because you can say, no, maybe this isn't considered preparation, it's considered involvement during. But it doesn't seem that way, right? It seems like according to the Eger, right, she's only doing it in advance. She's just putting her hands out, but then she's just staying still. Right? Maybe the hair cutting is different because you're moving your head here. You know, you're just putting your hand out, put it on the table. Now you don't do anything. Right? So according to the Rav Eger, that's the least of Misayah. According to the Taz, that is Misayah. Right? The fact that you were preparing the hand is a problem. So now what do we see? So according to the Taz, right, the Taz takes the position that even preparing, well, either that preparing is misayaya, right, and is parallel to makif and nikaf, right, that preparing is actually asur, right, or he takes the position of the Chazon Ish, that, right, that doesn't really work, that holding out your hand or holding out your head for hair cutting is not called preparation, it's called involvement during, but it could just be that it seems like, and at least the way I've heard many explain the Taz, is the opposite of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had said that preparation is not misayeh, and that's why you're not chayiv in the case of the eye. And then in the case of the haircutting, either he holds like the Chazon Ish, that that's called involvement during, or that's exeris hakasov, because of, I think that's actually what Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds, that it's just exeris hakasov, because of makif and nikaf, in which case you wouldn't carry it to other cases. According to the Taz, no. Preparation before is definitely misayeya because you are the right. You are enabling, and that is worse. And therefore, la halacha, the Taz says that if a woman has to cut her nails on, has to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, and she hasn't cut her nails, just clean them and don't cut them because this is misayeya. We paskin misayeya yesh bo mamish if you are enabling the Isra malacha. How could you respond to the Taz? So you could respond to the Taz. According to the Taz, right? What's the difference between cases which are and are not? Right now, okay. According to the Taz, sorry, makif and nikaf is not an exception to the rule. It's not exeris hakasuv because he's comparing it to makif and nikaf. So according to the Taz, any time I prepare the scene, just like by the haircutting, right? Sorry, the Taz can hold it as exeris hakasuv because he learns this out from the case of makif and nikaf, right? He says the opposite of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says normally preparing is nothing. Maybe it's different by makif and nikaf, or maybe practically different. It doesn't seem to be that way. It's exeris hakasuv. The Taz says no. Makiv and Ikaf teaches you that any misayeya where you are involved in advance is worse because you're enabling it. The only type which is not bad is when you're involved during, because then two people are doing the same thing. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Taz end up saying opposite positions, right? Rabbi Akiva Eiger says Anytime I'm involved in advance, it's totally insignificant. During is significant if I'm necessary. The Taz says, no, if I'm involved in advance, like Makev and Nikav, where I'm an enabler, that is significant. It's only when I'm involved during where it's less significant because I'm not the only actor. So how could you respond la halacha? So there's many reasons to argue with the Taz, right? One is to say that we really do want her to cut the nails, and therefore it's more of a tzorech, and therefore, or something like that. But the simplest way is to say no. We had seen there's basically two camps of how to deal with the stirut of misayeya. One camp says all misayeyas are on, right, all isurim are on the same plane. The only question is how misayeya were you, right? Is there a difference between preparing or doing during, right? L'chumra in either direction. Is there a difference between really being involved or not really being involved? And then there's the camp of the Ritva, quoting Rabbi Meir, which is no. Misayeya of all sorts is always insignificant. The only exception is Makev and Nikav, it's Xeris HaKasu. So the Taz is a version of Camp 1, not admittedly the opposite of Rabbi Kiyager, but a version of Camp 1, which says Misayeya is always something you have to take into account. The only question is, how involved are you? But if you take the position of the Remeir, quoting the Ritva, that no, all these cheshbonot of a little bit more Misayeya, less Misayeya, before Misayeya, during Misayeya, all of that is insignificant. There's just one rule. Misayeya is insignificant always unless it's Makev and Nikav, which is Xeris HaKasuv, that you can't even have your hair cut.
So Rabbi Kiyager, well, in some ways would agree with the Taz, not like...
In certain ways it's agreeing, in certain ways it isn't, right. Meaning he is... Right, at least in this piece, he's falling in the...
He thinks Misayeya is a great, there's a gradient.
Right, right, meaning at some level he thinks it's a gradient. Now, right, he doesn't in this piece discuss, I think he does actually discuss Makev, and I just left it out. No, he definitely does. In the Makev one, he does. But yeah, I mean, this part of Kiyager can at least be used on that plane to understand that all Misayeyas are related. It's just how much of a Misayeya are you. But if you take the position of Rabbi Meir, quoted in the Ritva, that all of these cheshbonot are irrelevant, right? Misayeya before, misayeya during, a little bit misayeya, a lot of bit misayeya, all of it is insignificant. The only time it matters is by having your hair cut in an Easter way because there's a special Xeris HaKasuv. So then the woman putting out her hand, I don't care what she does, she's not going to violate because misayeya of all sorts is totally insignificant if it's not Makev and Nikav. That's the position of the Shach. Right? The Shach in the Kuzet HaKesef says, as I gave you the summary in 15, says, no matter what, Misayeya is never significant. The Taz just rejects it. That's Xeris HaKasuv, that you can't have your hair cut in a forbidden way. We understand it as don't allow yourself to have your hair cut. Or is written in plural to include the one whose hair is cut. But the rest of the term, Misayeya, is insignificant. The Chacham Tzvi agrees to Taz. So, to summarize, again, right, I keep doing these interim summaries to keep it clear in my own head, right? You have these contradictory Gemaras, fundamentally the Gemara in Makot, which says that Misayeya is significant, all the others that in some way or another say it's insignificant, with some exceptions within them. One school is to distinguish between different levels of Misayeya, either saying preparation is worse, involvement during is better, or involvement during is worse and involvement in advance is less bad, or it depends on whether your involvement was, in the case of the I case, a reflex or active involvement, or it depends on whether you're involved very, very actively or a little bit actively. That's one camp, right, which is to say that Misayeya sometimes is significant and sometimes it isn't. Then there's camp two, which says, no, this is all a mirage. All the Gemaras lahalacha, we paskim to say yeah, is never significant except in the case of haircutting. There it is significant. This all comes to the fore in the halacha of nail cutting on Shabbos to go to the mikvah, where the Taz represents camp one, which is it depends on how much you're involved. And he takes the position that being involved in advance is worse than being involved during, because when you're involved in advance, you're enabling, which is the opposite of Akiva Eger. And therefore, he says, letting your nails be cut is equivalent to letting your hair be cut, and therefore it's also. Rabbi Akiva Eger said the opposite. The involvement in advance is less bad, and maybe Makiv and Nikav is Exeris HaKasov or something like that. The Chazon Ish had said, no, maybe Makiv is not Exeris HaKasov, it's that it's a more active involvement. So he had brought it back into the conversation. So, but the Taz, representing Camp 1 in his own way, therefore says you shouldn't have the nails cut by the non-Jew on Shabbos. You should rather just go to the mikvah with clean nails. The Kuzis HaKasev takes the position of Rabbi Meir, quoted by the Ritva, and says, no, this was all irrelevant. Misayeya of all sorts is not halachically significant. Only by haircutting, in a forbidden way, is it aser. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you turn your hand a little bit, you turn it less, who cares? The point is, we paskin misayeya ein bo mamish at all. And that's the position of the Shach, and therefore he says, you should have the non-Jew cut the nails on Shabbos for the woman going to the mikvah. If you look at the Chacham Tzvi, number 16, so he says, or Eitiv Sefer Nekutz HaKasef, he says, I saw the Shach said, Shehesek Alatak, Shalzer Lachlik, Zivir Naim, Shabbos Eidei Nachrik, Deshil Chalitvol, Vliyot, Zivir HaTaz, Nechonim Beinai. So I understand that the Shach said it was also, that it's Mutter, but the Taz said it's also, and I agree with the Taz. V'heim l'hachmer mard, L'ashev al-Divrei HaShach, Zal, Kavisha Tal, Le'mitsudosi Ayom, Harai, Shevi HaTaz, Ma'anikav, Delaki Emesu. He said the proof is the case of haircutting. She'ain done in Shabbos midikav to Shabbos. Afil shnayim shalos in malacha gemura pturin. The kaimelon v'rag matznia. Kerb Yehudu damar zeh yachav zeh yachal shnayim pturin. Mishum dechiv ba'asasov. V'chein kazav rashba. He said Shabbos is the exception. He said it's not just, right? The Shach suggests that haircutting is the exception to all rules. He says, no, I don't think haircutting is the exception to all rules. I think Shabbos is the exception to all rules. Normally, the rule is that if you're involved, Misayaya is significant. Shabbos, we're more makil. Shabbos, the reason we say that unless it's Zeh Eino Yachol, Zeh Eino Yachol, your potter is because there's a special Gzeres HaKasov, that by Shabbos, no Misayaya is significant unless it's, right, not really Misayaya, it's two people who need each other, right? It's Shabbos where we find exceeding kulot. It's not that the case of haircutting is extremely machmir, it's that Shabbos is extremely makil. But the general rule is that Misayeya is significant. The old Mistabrish on Nemr Dharma Lalash Misayelin is Shabbos, and in Zavah, in Shabbos, maybe Zavah is the same. L'chora Kasha, Dabi Gemara Maisin and Raya Miraglo, Echad al Ritz Babachule. He said, as soon as he says this, he backtracked. And he says, maybe that's not true, because we saw that the Gemara in Erchin brings Misayeya in conversation for Avoda. Right, umikabel b'yam. In a small misayato, v'nir darav haraj v'lomra l'dumya d'nida d'idei, shekoin l'vado, yochol amin asvina, v'chein amayim l'vado, yochol l'amita. Sorry, this is still in the Shabbos. Right, in the case of malacha, avoda, we also bring in the discussion. What? Did I cut this one out? No, I did. Yeah, I cut this one out. You're right. The point is, there are other cases, right? Just like the Erechin case we saw is the case of the Levium working with each other. I cut out one of the cases. But he said the point is that it's very hard to say that it's just Shabbos is unique, meaning that's very nice to say, but it really doesn't fit the evidence because there's other things where we bring it up as well. So if you look after the ellipsis, he says, Ela delishin gwarim sayeh kamayri, nakid vim kain, kevin lenin chiyu of malchus, manik of lekha, ochacha, al misvar, napshin, vachayivin lenin vasayeh, mishum de mikri osa maita, nimsu de shabbos, nami avagav de potter manachatos, esher da filu isur da reisa, nami ikav, areyu bechlal, kol malach lo sasu, midav echatsi shir, da osu manatar avin lokin alay, says, you know what? Forget it. It's not that Shabbos is unique. We learn everything from makif and ikav. And the halacha is that being involved in the role of Misayeya is significant. So why in the Gemara and Shabbos do we say it's not significant? He says we never did. We only said that Misayeya and Shabbos doesn't get skila. That doesn't mean it isn't usher. Right? So he says, no, the rule is that misayeya is always usur. It's just not chayev. Right? That's the rule. Right? The rule is that it's always usur, not chayev. And therefore, lahalacha, he sides with the taz against the shach.
Even an example in our Gemara, Beitza?
Right. And then he would say, well, that case must be different because, as the Shinim Weset says, right, you're just blinking or something like that. Or it's for chole or something like that. But fundamentally, he says the normal rule is that misayeya is always chayev. Right. So for a totally different reason, the Chacham Tzvi sides with the position of the Taz because he throws this whole thing into chaos and says, no, misayeya in b'mamish never means misayeya in b'mamish. Misayeya in b'mamish just means misayeya, you're not chayev. It doesn't mean it's not usur, but it is always.
He's looking at a punishment.
Yeah. Okay. So then if you look at the Chassam Sofer in 17, it says, Mikol Makom Gam La'ataz, Ilomata Rosho Klal Klal, Mikol Makom Yisro Ovid, and Hidda, Shah Tikshu, Atu Manda Achel Tamri, and Yisro Osro Klal, Mikol Makom Kevin to Mishani, Misayev, Kin the Robin Misayev, Havel Lav Sheish, but Maisev Osro Klal, and Ego, from Mimela Osro Nami, Lovid Maisev, Chen Gaza Vatosos, right, just to explain the Taz. Right, he notes that according to the Taz, what would come out is even if you don't move at all, so it would be usur. If you moved, maybe you'd even be chayev. That's clearly what the Taz does hold. Then you didn't let you shine like the guy. Okay, we'll hold that. We'll hold that one off. Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to hold it. So I'll just summarize what the next thing we're going to see is. So we've seen now the Shach Taz in the Nida case, where it really comes down to this fundamental question, which is. Is the rule misayeya yesh bo mamish and makiv and nikav is the rule misayeya ain bo mamish, but makiv and nikav are the exception, and therefore no matter what it's mutter in other cases. That's the position of the shach. Or do we say no? All isurim have some possible cases of misayeya yesh bo mamish. The only question is what is it? Only cases where you're really involved, cases where you're involved during, cases where you're involved before, which ones? The Taz represents the camp that distinguishes within, as does the Chacham Tzvi in a different way, as does the Rav Eger in certain ways in a different way. The Shach represents the camp that, no, Misayeya is never significant except in Makif Nikaf. So one nafkamin, as we saw, is the question of what do you do on Shabbos, where, again, the Taz thinks you shouldn't do it. The Taz says you shouldn't do it. The Shach says you should cut the nails. The other case this is going to come up, and that's going to be the next series of halachot, is other refuah cases, right? Our case in Beitza is a refuah case. So in our case, we allow it. Do we allow it in other refuah cases? If someone has a tooth, right, toothache on Shabbos, a really bad one, which could cause, right, sakana, or maybe, no, not sakana, sefashos, but it's clearly a cholek, and you have a guy pull out the tooth on Shabbos, right? That's misayeya. As we'll see, that'll be a machlokas also, if you think, Misayeya ain bo mamish, except for makiv and nikav, then you're going to say, yes, you're allowed to pull out the tooth if you're in excruciating pain on Shabbos. Right. If you,
or to have an ultrasound for ovulation.
Right, or have an ultrasound, right, or, as I said, medical imaging, right, you'll be allowed to have an x-ray if necessary because you're not doing anything, it's just misayeya. If you possibly like the Taz, that no, misayeya yesh bo mamish, if you are involved in advance, or you're involved, right, according to the Chazon Ish, you're involved during, so then, in an x-ray, it's both, right? You put on the gown, you go into the x-ray, that's misayeya according to Taz, you're involved in advance. And if during the x-ray you're actually moving around, right, I need you to turn, turn your head, turn this, then you're involved during, and according to Rabbi Eger, you're chayev, right? According to Chazon Ish, you're chayev. If you think that, no, misayeya is always insignificant unless it's makiv and nikaf, like the shach, then you could go in for a x-ray if necessary, even for chol she'ein bo sakana. For chol yesh bo sakana, of course you could, right? But for chol she'ein bo sakana, or someone dealing with infertility, things which are not chol she'yesh bo sakana, again, it's going to depend. If you think that misayeya is never a problem, like the shach, so then you'll allow it. If you think it is a problem, so then you have to figure it out. What type of misayeya is it? Is it too much of a misayeya? Is it in advance? Is it during? V'chule. So that's what we're going to start seeing in number 18. And yeah, as Sam notes, this is a very big halachah l'maaseh topic because this comes up all the time nowadays. Especially, I mean, x-rays, it's all the time. It comes up in other cases as well. Okay, so we will not meet next week.